Turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. We read from Matthew 13 from verse 1 through to the verse 23. Come, let us hear the word of the living God. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him. So that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, and some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside, but he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. He that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Amen. Thus far the reading of Holy Sacred Scripture, and we pray the Lord himself will please add his own blessing to his precious word and bless our souls this evening. I have no doubt that you are familiar with these words of Holy Scripture. Well, I do want to embark on a more comprehensive series on this parable, the parable of the sower, in the subsequent weeks that are ahead. The Lord has laid this heavily upon my heart, and I pray that we will be given greater insight and instruction that perhaps we have had before. We will see new things that have always been there, the Lord will bless to us this parable in a number of sermons ahead, Lord willing. I want to begin by asking in our mind, how important is this parable? Well, the Holy Spirit of God has thought it so right and appropriate to place this parable three times in the Synoptic Gospels, the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, and the Gospel of Luke. Three times do we find it in the Word of God. So it is very significant, very important. There are many parables that are seen just once or twice. But this parable, the Holy Spirit of God has sought to place it at least three times, must mean that it is very, very significant because of its repetition in Holy Scripture. But also, this parable, as outlined by the Lord Jesus Christ, is utterly unique to all the parables. It's unique. If you have a look at Mark chapter 4 and verse 13, Mark chapter 4 and verse 13, you will note these words as the Lord Jesus speaks about this parable in particular, and he emphasizes the uniqueness of it in relation to all the other parables. He said unto them, "Know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables?" In other words, to understand this parable is somehow the acid test of whether we will understand all other parables. Now, is this parable a parable that unlocks to all other parables? Well, the Word of God doesn't say that. But what the Lord Jesus Christ is emphasizing is, here really is the test. If you cannot understand this parable, you will not understand all the other parables. And so surely, this ought to be a parable that we make all attempts to understand, because we will not understand other parables if we do not understand this parable. So it is key in that sense. In this parable are found certain principles that are necessary for the Christian, that the Word of God, the seed of God, that grain, is to be implanted into the crevices of our soul, that we will have further development and learning. Here is truly a remarkable parable that stands out from all the other parables. Not my words, but the words of the Lord Jesus himself. And how then will ye know all parables if you don't know this one parable? A number of you may remember a few months back, I spoke from Luke 8 verse 18, which at the end of this parable, we have these words, "Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." Now, I spoke on how we are to receive the Word of God, how we're to hear it. And I spoke on preparation to hear, and then the hearing of the Word during the message, or whenever we hear it, and then the outliving of that Word, making sure that we're not just hearers of the Word of God, but that we are doers of His Word. Now, this series is going to be entirely different. I want to look at the particular soils, the four soils relating to the condition of the human heart that we find in this parable here as we read in Matthew chapter 13. And tonight I just want to consider the first soil, the soil of the wayside hearer, as we read in the verse 3. Well, there are a number of features to this parable that we've got to understand if we are to understand it at all, if we are to understand its teaching and then to give relevant application to our lives. There's firstly the sower. We read in verse 3, "And behold, a sower went forth to sow." We've got to understand who the sower is. The sower is the divine sower, who is God himself. Now, God has his ministers who go out and sow the Word of God. That's what I'm doing tonight. I'm preaching for the Lord Jesus Christ, and so are all his other ministers who he has appointed by the Holy Ghost. They have been made to be, as Paul says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, we have been made overseers by the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, has made us overseers. And as the overseers, we are to feed the flock of God by this word. So the sower really is the Lord Jesus, but he has his servants to do his ministering for him. Now, of course, there was no better sower than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he sowed perfectly. He taught the word of God accurately. We read in the Psalms that he did not refrain from preaching righteousness amongst the great congregation. He did not withhold anything in his heart. He taught precisely and accurately, and we are to do as preachers. But it is not the seed that determines its fate in the lives of its hearers, but the condition of the soil. Now, we are all ministers of Jesus Christ. Paul speaks about those who are fellow workers with Christ, and that's who I am, any minister is. We are fellow workers with Christ, the divine soul, as he sends us out. And we read in Ephesians 4, when he led captivity captive, he gave gifts unto men, some to be pastors and so on. And Paul says, I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. A man may preach faithfully the word of God, and yet there's no increase. And we'll learn why as we discover great truths from this parable itself. Behold, a sower went forth to sow, verse 3b, sowing the word. Look at verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, there you have it. The seed is the word of Jesus Christ, the word of the kingdom. So, the sower, now the seed, secondly. We've said, what is the seed? It's the word of the kingdom. In Luke 8, verse 11, we read, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. That's the parallel passage which we find in the third synoptic gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Luke 8, 11. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Mark 4, 14 says, the sower soweth the word. So, very clear. And we find when we study these three passages, Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8, we find we get a good grasp of the parable itself. And some details are found in others as they are not in the other. So the seed is any proclamation of divine truth with regards to the kingdom of heaven. And what I'm preaching, I trust tonight, is the word of God to our souls, which is needful. So we've seen firstly, we've seen the sower, we've seen then the seed, and then we see the soil. I've already mentioned that there are four types of soil, and we'll study them as we go along in our series. But the soil really is thus, it is the heart of the man. And we read that in verse 19. Notice Matthew 13, verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. So the heart is the soil. Nothing else. There's the explanation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, this is he which received the seed by the wayside. So in other words, it was sown in his heart. He had a wayside heart. Luke 8:12 says, these, by the way, side are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts. Hearts, that's the word. It's sown in the heart. So very clear from all of these parables. And also in Luke 8, verse 15, we read, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, that's the good soil, it bears fruit in a good heart. The good soil cultivated by the Lord's grace is that heart which is made receptive, that the word of God, the seed, may germinate within that heart. So the soil, what is it? It's our hearts before the Lord. And what is our heart? Do we say it's that thing just pumping blood around and giving blood to the various muscles and tissue in our body? No, it's not that. It is really the soul of a man, his person, who he is, not his body, but his soul. The next thing I want you to see is, as we've seen in our previous studies, but I feel I need to reiterate it. In this parable are two principles operative. In Luke 8, and also we read here, he said, "Take heed therefore how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given." That's the positive side. The lesson we are to learn from this parable is to take heed to how we hear, how we receive the word of God into our hearts. That's the positive side. And whoever has the word of God in him, and it's germinating, and the man continues to receive more, the more shall be given to him. And that person will grow and flourish. Though he be born again, and a faith as small as a mustard seed, he shall grow and mature as a Christian, and produce much fruit to the glory of God. Though he is a little seedling, one day he shall be as a mighty oak. But the person who does not take heed, there is a dark side. Even that which he seems to have is by and by taken away. They appeared to be Christians, but they were not Christians. And by, time evidenced the very fact that there was no saving grace of God in their lives. There were one of these three kinds of soils that we read of here that are not conducive to spiritual life and growth and vigor. And eventually they find themselves in hell, lost for all eternity. That's the end of that soil. Fallow ground is not produced. That's the negative side. That's the dark side. Whoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have, by and by taken away. And what you will notice as well, I'm just making some preliminary observations with regards to this parable, is that all of them heard the word of God. These are people in the church. He is not speaking about people in the world. He is speaking about people that actually come and hear the word of God. And this principle, by the way, is operative in every church. There are wayside hearers, there are stony heart hearers, there are hearts full of thorns, full of worldliness. But there are also those good hearts that bear fruit. So all hear the word of God, all had a heart, but the seed did not determine its fate. But the soil on which that seed fell on determined its fate. Now that's the same here tonight. What determines how you are going to progress on in the kingdom of God? It's not how well I preach, although I'm not dismissing good preaching and accurate and lucid preaching. I'm not dismissing those things at all. But what determines your spiritual future is the condition of your heart. Another thing, there's absolutely no neutrality to the seed. One thing you will notice, and again, these are just passing observations. There's absolutely no neutrality in any of these soils. They all have an effect toward the seed. They all have some reaction to the seed. None of them are indifferent to it. They all have some reaction to the seed, to the word of God. There's no neutrality to divine revelation. And that's a staggering thing, to think that the word of God can be preached to a man's heart and there are one of four responses. Three of them which are negative, one which is positive. That's frightening. The falling of the seed merely revealed the condition of the soil. It wasn't how good the seed was that determined the fate of that soil. No, it's the soil. So again, as I say, this is a description of what happens week after week, not only in other churches, but right even in our midst. And I think one of the most disheartening things for a preacher is to actually see that unfold before your eyes. If ever going to be something that discourages a man is to see that when you spend hours in preparation, seeking to faithfully sow true, pure seed of the Word of God, and you see seed fall upon hearts that reject God's Word in one of three ways. But what is encouraging, if it's ever going to be an encouragement to a preacher, is to see the seed of God falling on good hearts and changing lives, and seeing those who have even more and more added to them. Nothing more encouraging than that. So the sower went out to sow, verse 3. He didn't go out with a tool, I want you to notice, to change the soil. He wasn't going to change the condition of that soil. As he sowed, the seed did not change the condition of the soil. Again, a sixth observation. The seed does not change the condition of the soil. Let me repeat. The seed does not change the condition of the soil. Now I hope, let me just add this in at this point. Do we see why it's very important to pray before we come to the Word of God? To prepare our hearts. Your heart is filled with bitterness and anger and antagonism towards somebody else, you will not hear the Word of God. It will fall on a hard, resistant ground and will bear no fruit. We must pray. The devil is constantly trying to put things that the seed of the Word of God will not take root in our hearts. So important that we pray and we prepare our hearts, that we come to the sermons not tired and worn out, because that's exactly what the devil wants. The cares of the world, the weariness of the body. This is where you get your spiritual vitality. God has been pleased to ordain the means of preaching to save them that believe. And that does not mean just that you get into salvation, because the Bible speaks about us being saved. We are being saved. This is an ongoing work. We are being saved. It is the soteria. That's the word that Peter uses. That's the Greek word that Paul uses. Our soteria, our being made whole. We are constantly being saved. If you've entered into salvation, you've entered in through that narrow door, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then now you're in the narrow way of self-denial. And it requires preparation. Every time we come to hear the Word of God, you can imagine a young boy. He goes out with his father. His father's a farmer. And the young boy is not a seasoned farmer. But he does just like his father. He takes his hand, he dips his hand in the sack full of grain, and he throws. The father, seasoned farmer, the young boy, a novice. What the young boy sows, if it falls on good ground, it will germinate. Just like his father, the seasoned farmer. You see, it's not down to the preacher, it's down to the soil. The young boy, first time, you can put your hand in the bag, do it yourself, throw it out. If that truth germinates, gets in the heart that has been prepared, it will take root. Now again, I'm not dismissing good, faithful preaching. A man can preach powerfully, faithfully, and that's good. That should not be dismissed. But at the same time, a man may not be of great rhetorical eloquence and ability, and yet still preach a faithful message. You sit back with a hard heart. The truth will never take root in your heart. It is all dependent upon your heart, the condition of your heart. The sower went out to sow. He doesn't change the soil. And again, I'm not excusing Paul's sermons and saying we shouldn't work hard to produce sermons that God will be pleased to take. But friends, the sermon does not create the basic ingredient for the right response of God's word, but preparation of the heart. So important before you come here every Lord's Day, every Lord's Day morning, that you pray before you come to church. You pray, God, speak to me. Speak to my heart. Take away, Lord, every distraction. It's the condition of the heart. So the focus tonight is our attention on the wayside here. And he spake many things, verse 3, unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Now you know the picture very well. You've seen farmers in the field, and birds will always follow, as it was in this day, the sower as he sowed the seed, as he scattered the seed. When we plough the ground, what comes up? Earth is moistened, and then there's grubs and worms, and then the seagulls are very quick in the air, aren't they? They smell it from a mile off. We see seagulls here. We're hundreds of miles inland. But the seagulls, why? Because they want the worms and they want the grubs out of the earth. They smell it, they're quick. In these days, if the soil did not take that seed, very quick the fowls of the air, the birds of the air would come and steal that seed. Easy pickings. A quick meal. They don't have to work hard for it. It's there. So as soon as this soil does not receive the seed, it's taken away. And the Lord Jesus actually says this is the work of the devil. But there are other aspects to it. Though it's the work of the devil does not have the gift of omnipresence. Satan cannot be everywhere at once. He does not have the gift of omnipresence like the Lord. God is omnipresent, but Satan isn't. When the Lord asked Satan, where have you been? Oh, I've been roaming to and fro upon the earth. Satan does not have the gift of omnipresence, but he uses many fowls of the air to steal the precious seed of God's word. Well, what is the Lord's explanation of this? Matthew 13:18. Anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understand it not, then cometh the wicked one. You see, the heart is not receptive because it does not understand it. It's not understanding it, and I'm submitting to you because there's a problem. It doesn't think that this word is vital. It treats the word of God casually, flippantly. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Spoken to him, sown in his heart, but it's not gone in deep. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Now, firstly, notice the wayside hearer hears the word of God, as we've said, but hearing he does not understand. He does not understand. Why? Well, there are many reasons, and I'm going to give you some, which I trust will be helpful. Not in order just to study this parable, but to guard our hearts from the devil who has many fowls of the air, and here I'm speaking by way of analogy. We're not talking about birds. The devil, as we've established already, is not omnipresent. He cannot be. But there are many things that will steal that word from our hearts. Firstly, because there is a self-inflicted blindness and rejection. When our Lord speaks of a kingdom of heaven, so went forth to preach. And God sends out his preachers to preach the kingdom of heaven. Every week I'm preaching about the kingdom of heaven. I'm preaching about a God who made the heavens and the earth. A God that is eternal and everlasting. A kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And a king who died for all of his subject members. That's what we're preaching every week. We're preaching about eternal things. We're preaching about things that concern the everlasting destiny of your soul. These are weighty matters. We're preaching a message of forgiveness and pardon for sinners, a walk that requires that we enter in through Jesus Christ, the narrow gate, who is the door. And if by any man enter in through that door, he may be saved. And that narrow gate leads to a narrow life. A life of self-denial, of taking up our cross and dying to sin. That's what we're preaching when we preach the kingdom of heaven. And we say to men with the words of Isaiah, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, and yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do you spend money that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, saith the Lord, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live." We're preaching these things week after week. We're saying to people, you're lost, you're undone, you're without hope. And you've got to, if you come to Christ, you've got to deny yourself. We're preaching these things. And they don't understand because all of that talk is not important to somebody. Why is it not important? Well, they say, well, I don't understand. And you say, well, why don't you understand? Well, they say something like this: there's too many things for me to understand. That's why I don't understand. You ask a child in the school, why don't you understand? Well, there's just too many things for me to understand. Where do I begin? Well, they've not wanted to begin anywhere. Not wanting to begin to ever understand. Why? Because too many other things preoccupy the mind. The person comes, well, I have other needs. My need is not the kingdom of heaven. My need is not eternal life. My need is not to be forgiven. My need is not these things, preacher. That's pie in the sky stuff. I don't need it. It's not relevant to me. I'm struggling with a business. My business is sinking. I'm in debt with the bank. I don't have a job. I'm a practical kind of guy. I want to hear things, preacher, that are going to improve my life. My health is poor. That's what I want to hear, preacher. Don't tell me about a kingdom. Those things aren't relevant to me. They don't understand because not important to them. You only have to read from verses 12 to 17 of this very chapter. And the Lord spells it out for us, how the hearts of men have waxed hard against the Lord. Preacher, I want a religion that can help me to do better in life, in business, that can make me more successful, that can make me have a happy home and have good children and have good health. Preacher, that's what I need. I don't need those things. Maybe it could be a person that hears the word of God and they are devastated with some event that has taken place in their lives. They're going through a divorce. They've lost a child. They've lost a parent. They've come to church because there's a present need. And they're hearing the word of God, and the only reason why they've come to church is for some solace, some balm for their present felt need. A person might be devastated and swallowed up with sorrow over a lost child or a loved one, but there's no concern for grace and pardon with a holy God. There's no concern for eternal life. They don't understand it because it doesn't seem to be relating to their present pressing problem. That's why people don't understand, because they don't want to take the time to understand, because they say, I've got far more important things to do than to listen to that nonsense about God coming to judge sinners. I came to feel better. I came to church to feel better. Now you're making me feel worse, preacher. I think I better leave. I'll reject this message. No concern for grace. No concern for forgiveness or eternal life. They don't understand because it doesn't relate to their present pressing problem. So what does this heart do? It throws off the seed. It's the wayside heart that throws the seed of God away, because it's not precious. You throw things away that are not valuable to you. You see, my friend, until you find Jesus Christ as the pearl of greatest price, you will constantly be having the fowls of the air, of the devil coming to your soul and saying, this is more important. This is more important. Some of you may be thinking, well, I'm a Christian. But there's the fowl of the air that comes to you every week, and it's saying to you, you need to think about this. While the preacher is preaching, the devil sends the fowl of the air, which we could call carnality and worldliness, into your mind. And your mind fluctuates from one thing to the next, and you're looking around, and the next minute you're thinking about what you're doing in the week. And then you don't receive the word of God, and it doesn't germinate in your heart, because Jesus Christ was never precious to begin with. Secondly, we could say, he understandeth it not, because the Spirit of God has not taught him that there is one thing needful. We read that in the Bible. There is one thing that is needful, and that is to seek first the kingdom of God. And that's throughout your life. That does not just mean when you become a Christian. You seek the kingdom. That's not something you do as a once-off in your life. And you say, well, I've sought the kingdom. I'm now a Christian. I'm now born again, and I've sought the kingdom. I'm now on my way to heaven. No, as a Christian, you are constantly seeking the kingdom of heaven every day. Because those words come in the context of Matthew chapter 6. When the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples there on the Sermon on the Mount, when he said, worry not for the things of the morrow, but seek first the kingdom of heaven and God's righteousness. He's speaking to Christians. If you come here pretending to be a Christian week after week, and you're hearing, and yet the kingdom, the things of the kingdom and righteousness and godly living and holy living are not paramount in your mind and in your heart, the devil is sending the fowl of the air of distraction to you every day. You're convinced you're in the way, but there's no self-denial. There's no living to Christ. Don't be deceived. You're a wayside hearer. You think you're in the kingdom, but you're not seeking the kingdom every day. As Christians, we're saying, what is my Father's will for me today? Lord, I come to hear your word, and I'm praying, and I'm laying my heart bare before you, Lord, and I'm asking, Lord, As I come to the Word of God, that I will not be distracted with the cares of the world, with all of its distractions and concerns, lest that fiend fowl of the air steal the precious seed of God's Word, that it will not germinate and I will produce more fruit unto the glory of God. You see, the Christian always sees the suitableness of the message for himself, because Jesus Christ and his kingdom is the life that I am fitted for, to live to the glory of my Master Jesus Christ. And what profit a man if he gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? You know, you can be so deceived to say, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. And yet you're living as a worldling. You're dismissing the Word every week because the Spirit of God has not taught you that there is one thing needful, and that is to deny yourself and to take up your cross daily and to follow Jesus Christ. The one thing needful is that Jesus Christ be chief in your life. Do not call him Lord, Lord, if you do not do as he says. He's either Lord of all or he's Lord of nothing. Also, with regards to the person that's not saved, when we speak about a spiritual kingdom, when we speak about heaven, when we think about spiritual things, when we talk about forgiveness and repentance and a Savior, there's a rejection because somebody says, well, these things might be wonderful, but that's not relevant to my life now. Well, it is, friends. It's all relevant because this life right now could end right now. God will usher you into an everlasting destruction. Thirdly, where the wayside hearer is concerned, there is this direct activity of Satan to take away what they have actually heard. Notice verse 19. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Now I'll stop and pause there for a moment. You might hear things that I've sown into your heart in the last few minutes. They're there. Maybe there's been a twinge of conscience. But that's all it is. It's not a work of grace. Because when you ask God that that seed fall in, it doesn't fall in by accident. But God prepares that soil. He is the preparer of the soil. And when the message comes, you know it's just right. And you know it was the Spirit of God answering your prayers. There is almost a double assurance to the soul. And you know it's the work of grace. You know it's the work of God. It's unmistakable. But when the person, his conscience is just touched, you know what? He can get used to that. He can come to church week after week. And one week your conscience is tickled a little bit. And there's been that troubleness of conscience. But you can get used to it. Your heart can become very used to that. Very used to resisting. The more we resist, the easier it becomes to resist. Look back to verse 4. When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came up and devoured them up. All these fowls, what are they? Well, whatever they are the work of the devil. One of the works of the devil is that he can so convince you that all you need to do is just to hear. Oh, I just need to hear Pastor Hetherington preach the Word of God every week. But friends, look, it tells us that we need to understand. He that understoodeth not. You can come in the midst of preaching, and it might sound good, but if you don't understand it, it'll do you no good. A man must understand in order for him to embrace in the heart. What do we understand? Well, we've got to understand the Word of God. And especially in order to be saved. In Luke 8, which is the parallel passage to this, Luke 8:12, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and take away the Word of God, the Word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Here, you cannot be saved apart from understanding. There's no salvation by faith unless there is a cognitive perception of the truth of the message embraced in the heart. Unless we embrace the truth, not just in our heads, but in our hearts, there's no salvation. It's just head knowledge. It's got to be embraced in the heart. Now, as we follow the train of thought in this parable, if it's not understood, it's rejected. Well, why don't I understand it? Well, we've established already, because I don't want to take the time to understand it, because I don't see relevance of it to me right now. It's not relevant, somebody says. Well, it is very relevant to everybody. There's nothing in the Word of God that is not relevant. Everything is relevant. Now, friends, unless there has been divine revelation of the Spirit of God, there is no salvation. Where there is salvation, there is faith, and there is understanding. Salvation is not an orphan to faith. Always with salvation comes faith. And faith is not a blind, mysterious faith out there in something, but in the object of our faith, which is Christ. We embrace Him, we take hold of Christ, we run to Him for refuge, we lay hold of Him, and we say, unless I receive this Lord Jesus, I will perish in my sins. That's faith. Saying, I can do nothing without Christ. I must have Him. I must be saved. When I see Jesus Christ in my mind's eye, that bloody form dying for me, I see there's my only hope for heaven. When I see the empty tomb, there's my rejoicing that I have a Savior who's now in heaven. He's not in the tomb, but He's in heaven. I have to understand that. You see, the cross, the empty tomb, they're not just mere Christian symbols, but they are present realities for the Christian. The cross reminds me of a holy God, that unless the just dies for the unjust, I cannot come to God. The empty tomb tells me He's there for me, and He is my justification. As Paul says, He's risen for our justification. And unless we embrace that in the heart fully, and unless we see ourselves to be undone, we'll never, never embrace this message as we ought. These are not just pie in the sky things, friends. The kingdom of heaven is something we've got to embrace. We're told by the Lord Jesus that the righteous take that kingdom by force, violently. Have you taken hold of the kingdom of heaven violently, with force, as it were, with both hands, hanging on to Christ with your dear life and all that He's done for sinners? Are you holding on to Christ? Naked come to Thee for dress. Wash me, Savior, or I die. You see, unless we embrace Christ in that way, we don't understand a thing. Paul says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I've got to confess Christ with my mouth and in the heart embrace Him. I have no salvation apart. Somebody cannot say, I'm saved, but I have no knowledge of Christ. He is my salvation. With the new birth brings spiritual sight. Friends, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the Scriptures say. And we've got to call upon Him, and He's ready to save. Until I see that my rebel heart and my record before Almighty God and the cross and the tomb and the resurrection are not mere signs and symbols, but they are facts, I will never embrace the message of the kingdom of heaven. And I must take it by force, violently in my heart, holding on to Christ and all that He's done for me. You see, Christianity is not just merely tipping our hat to Christ and showing a little sympathy for Jesus Christ, but it's falling down on our knees and worshipping the God who gave to sinners, the helpless to save themselves, but He is mighty to save. So divine revelation is necessary. And Jesus said, no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. Only if the Lord Jesus Christ reveal Himself, reveal the Father to you, will you understand. Why? Because sin defiles all the facets of a man, all of his being, total depravity, totally corrupt. Everything within us rejects God. Everything within us by nature recoils and says, it's not important to me right now. I don't understand because it's not important. Well, that's it. You don't see your one great need, and that's Jesus Christ. Your one great need is Him. Your one great need is to be forgiven of this one lawgiver who is both able to save and to destroy, as James, the half-brother of our Lord Jesus, tells us. But you see, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. No ability with a human soul. What heart do you have? Have you come to church and are you part of this church because you merely want some needs to be met or some needs in your life? What is your greatest need for you? What's my greatest need? Well, my greatest need, friend, is to be saved and to continue to know the salvation and for it to be perfected in me until the day of Jesus Christ. That's my one great need, because everything else will pale into significance one day. Insignificance. When the Apostle Paul was converted, an intelligent man, he came to a knowledge of who this Lord Jesus is. He said, I count all things but loss for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. All that I had was loss for the sake of Him. And that's why he said, God forbid that I should glory in anything else save but the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There was a man that died to the world. Have we died to the world? Are we in the kingdom? Are we following? One of the fowls of the air is that there is indifference to God's word. Friends, there's nothing more important for you and I to do every week than to come and to hear the word of God. Nothing more important. You say, well, me eating every day has surely got to be the most important thing. No, because you can eat and you can go to hell. But if you don't eat the word of God, you will go there. Worldliness, that might be another fowl of the air. Well, the word of God is you're not understanding it. And some of you have been claimed to be Christians for years. But you're not growing. Why is it you don't understand? Well, the Word of God tells me and tells you. The reason why sometimes we don't understand is we don't think it's important. It is important. Your soul depends on it. We don't understand because we don't want to take the time to understand. Oh, I've got other things, more important things to do right now than to be bothered with reading the Word of God. Why should I engage my soul in a daily reading? Why should I engage my soul in praying every day? Why should I engage my soul in commentaries and good Christian books? Why? Because it's not important to you. Your soul will burn in hell for it. Because all you'll prove to be is a wayside hearer. You hear, but you don't understand because you don't want to understand. You want to understand everything else that's going on in the TV and the world. You understand all those other things, but when it comes down to the Word of God, you don't understand because you don't want to understand. What an indictment. God deliver us from indifference to God's Word. Worldliness, shallow views, maybe also careless talk and chatter. Maybe we've heard a sermon like this and our souls ought to be stirred up. The Word of God, as we're told here, has been put there in the heart. It's been received, but you know what? After the sermon, there's careless chatter. We talk about things of indifference. What we're going to do this coming week, but not how our hearts have been challenged and stirred. And so what happens is the devil takes that through careless chatter and gossip and everything else, and he steals the word, and we've forgotten. And what the devil is saying to you is it's not important. Carry on with that careless chatter. There are more important things. Sermon's over now. We're going to do something else. What we should be doing is taking the sermon home with us, poring over our notes in prayer. God, change me. God, help me not to be a wayside hearer. God, deliver me from such indifference. God, deliver me from such worldliness. Prayerlessness is another fowl of the air. When the ground is hard, it's not been prepared by prayer. We must pray when we come to God's Word, lest the precious seed of God's Word falls on hard wayside, trampled underfoot ground. May God help us to never be wayside hearers, but to hear the word of God, that it may germinate in our souls and bear much fruit to his glory. For Christ's sake, amen.